But what is Moody's man? Not man, Moody's man. We're Moody's mamen.
Yep.
We're Moody's men. But this is about magazine on RTR. Welcome to Moody's Mag here on RTR FM. If you've just tuned in, also Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Jim solo today, but got a great guest in today, so we'll be talking to him a little later about Yiriyarkin and what's happening over there on their 30th anniversary. But also a bit of sorry business, big shout out to a number of families that are going through some grief and loss issues, so that's a bit wenyan for me. So Woods family, Eads family, Kickett's family, and Collards. Yes, dreadful time for our community, Noongar, and the sorry business that's occurring at the moment. So Moody's Mag is a good news program, as you've heard, and mostly good news, sometimes a bit of sad wenyan news, like you've just heard. And Nick is on assignment, and so is Jody. So I'm solo today. Tony Hansen, Tonji Hansen might join me a little later, but I can't guarantee that. When people say they're going to do things, well, one thing leads to another, and who knows? But Maitland Snars is my guest today. Good morning, Maitland.
Good morning, Jim.
Thank you
for being here as always.
Lovely. And you've been a guest of Moody's Mag
a few times. I think the last time I was here was with myself and Tegan, and we were spruiking Dating Black.
Yes.
And we ended up being here for the whole hour.
Yes.
And it just flew by.
And it might just happen again, because you were appointed to Yiriyarkin, and here today to talk about the 30th birthday anniversary, so we'll come to that a little later. Mm-hmm. But I guess tell our mob, who are your mob, where you're from?
Okay, my mob, Nyagi Nyagi mob, Eastern District Wheatbelt, Quaridin, Kwadlian, Meriden, Kalabaran, all that sort of area on Granddad's side. We're related to the Ninyets and Winmars on Nans. It's Nelsons and Stacks and Hollands.
Wow.
As well.
Oh, that's a big mob over
related
there.
Related to quite a few.
Big mob. A big shout out to your dad, who's a great old mate of mine. Worked in the same building at one point at Noongar Radio and did some great things together. So big shout out to dad. But more importantly, to the grief and loss issues. So shout out to those family, Eads, Collards, Kickett's, and Woods. We're going to go to a song because Maitland's here to talk about a range of things, but more importantly, the 30th birthday. A big shout out to Nick and Jody. Whatever you're doing today, I hope your assignment goes well. Let's go to a song and we'll talk some more to Maitland, because I got a feeling he might be here for a long time. I got a feeling Maitland might be here for longer than just the usual 10 minutes, Maitland.
We always tend to chew the fat.
Let's chew the fat. Let's go to a song. Oh, yes, a brilliant piece of music, Emma Donovan. Gee, I love that woman. She's Noongar Koori.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her mob come Wudandi, and that's one of her new pieces there, Black Nate. Love it. So if you just tuned in, Moody's Mag here on RTR FM 92.1. If you've got any thoughts today, 0405 921 921. And then you've got to be good thoughts, because I don't want to know your bad thoughts. 0405 921 921, and we're talking to Maitland Snars. Maitland, the last time you were in the studio here, brother, you... I've got to call you Conk. We've got to respect each other now, Anna.
Yeah, true. That's why
so
it
why
should
you
always
me,
be.
Why are you calling me Conk?
You're a senior, and your knowledge, cultural knowledge, is next level to mine. And I just think you're a cruel, deadly man.
Oh, brown-nosing now.
But also family relations and
good
stuff
idea.
Like that.
Good on you. No, welcome. Yeah. Look, last time you were in the studio, you were just made Artistic Director of Yiriyarkin.
Just over 6 months ago.
6 months. And what's happened in that 6 months? You've been challenged a bit by a whole range of things.
I've been running around like a blue-ass fly.
Oh, blue.
It's been great. Look, I've been lucky in that the team, it's a great team in the office there. A lot of travel within the first 6 months. Oh, yes. I had to attend a conference in Wellington, New Zealand.
Whoa.
Ki Amau, which is First Nations. And then flew straight to Melbourne to attend APAM, Australian Performing Arts Market Conference. Not long after I got back from that, I then was invited to attend a conference in Bautzen, Germany, which was really, really interesting. The organisation that organised that was, they're called FONE, and it's made up of 8 theatre companies throughout Europe and 2 universities. And they make work in regional minority languages.
Oh.
So why they contacted us is because of all the work Yuri Yarkin, which started with Kyle, with regards to language. And that was actually really fascinating to attend, because what I realised is Europe, they want to hear our stories, but more importantly, they want to hear our language.
Right.
Because all these organisations make work in regional minority, like one of the companies, they're from Ireland, they do not make work in English. It's all in Gaelic.
Well, good.
And all the theatre companies...
All original.
..do that in the language from the country where they are based.
Wow.
Like even the companies in Germany, they make work in not German, but the dialect specific from that region.
Wow. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah, and that's why they contacted Yuri Arkin and invited a representative over. The region was going to be Bobby Henry, but that unfortunately she couldn't go because that clashed with our playwriting festival that we had earlier, so I had to go.
Oh, a big shout out to Bobby. She just recently got married too. Married Derek.
Yes.
Derek.
Mr. Nanup.
Nanup. So it's Bobby Nanup now.
Bobby Nanup. And look, and he proposed to her on the stage of our last show, last show of Dating Black. When we did Dating Black at Subiaco Arts Centre, our last show last night, he got down on his knee and proposed.
How romantic is that?
That's Derek for you.
Good on you, Derek. Derek Nunnup now as a new wife, Bobby Henry. Big shout out to you both. Congratulations on your wedding.
Lovely couple.
Yes. But Matthew, Maitland, you mentioned Kyle. Who's Kyle?
Kyle Morrison.
Oh, my nephew.
Yes, your nephew. He wasn't the last one, he was the previous artistic director. Yes. And Kyle was there for about 10 years. He was there for 10 years. I have so much respect for brother. He's currently over East. I think he's been recently appointed as an associate artist at Bell Shakespeare.
In Sydney.
And he's just finished doing an incredible show. It was called The Visitors, which is a co-pro, which originally was premiered in 2020 at the Sydney Arts Festival, and it's a show by Mughalin. Mughalin is Sydney's version of Yuri Yarkin. And then they've just remounted it again this year, and it was a co-pro with Sydney Theatre Company, directed by Wesley Enoch. So Kyle, after finishing up doing a couple of shows with Bell Shakespeare, then took on that show, which I fortunately got to see. I saw a preview of it. It's written by Jane Harrison, and it's looking at what elders might have been thinking and discussing when they were watching the first fleet come into Sydney Harbour.
Okay. Yes, well, that's really interesting stuff. We've got Maitland Tsnars, the artistic director of Yuri Yarkin. What does Yuri Yarkin stand for?
Yuri Yarkin means stand tall.
Stand tall. And you're not as tall as me, but you're trying.
I think I might be a little bit taller, Colin.
It might be. So I'm looking up at you. Okay. So Maitland's our guest today, talking about Yuri Yarkin and a big anniversary coming up, but also what he's been involved in more recent times, because the last time we spoke to Maitland, he was just recruited as their artistic director and doing great guns, been travelling a bit too.
Travelling a bit. Our whole next season is all locked and loaded. We will have our official launch from 30th of November.
Right.
Unfortunately, until then, I can't speak about any of our shows.
Okay.
But let me put it this way, I'm really, really excited.
Right. Well, it's good to have you on the show. You've got a couple of songs that you've requested. We're going to play them shortly, and mm-hmm. you're going to back announce.
Yep.
Whilst we now go on to a song, but come back and talk about what's happening with Yuri Arkin. 30 years.
30 years, long time.
And you know, it's been said that Yuri Arkin is probably one of the busiest amateur theatres in Australia.
It's not amateur. It's
not
professional.
Amateur? Professional.
Yes, we are a professional theatre company.
Right.
We have funding from the state, federal. And we have corporate sponsors as well.
Wow.
We're considered what we call, what the industry calls small to medium.
Right.
My long-term goal, though, is to move us from being considered small to medium to medium to major. But I also like to think that I want us to can be not just a theatre company, but a culturally significant
good
institution.
Good.
So, yeah, we make theatre, but I want us to be considered as a culturally significant institution because practices and protocols.
Right. Well, I've got to say, it's the only theatre that I go to, Yuri Arkin. I think I might have been to something else that was Yuri Arkin was involved in. But anyway, our guest is Maitland Snars. We're going to go to a song and talk some more about a birthday coming up and more what Maitland's involved in. Let's go to a song. Oh, welcome back. What was that song, Maitland?
That song was Here by Briggsy featuring, who was it featuring? I forgot that one.
Fox Lead. There you go.
Because I love that song because it's basically what it's all about is despite everything, we're still here. And despite everything, we will always be here.
Right, very good. Well, appropriate too.
Yeah, it's appropriate. We're, you know, no matter what, we are a part of this land. The land is a part of us. And no matter what anyone throws at us, we're here.
Right, well, we've got another big song coming up a little later that might be more easy on the ears. So welcome back, Maitland, to RTR of Muddish Mag. And it's been great to hear your progress whilst in the role. I mean, you've been involved in acting forever, though.
About 20 years now. I originally did the AB Theatre course back in 2003.
Right.
And actually, funny enough, all three of my kids have gone through the Aboriginal Theatre course.
Get out.
Yep, and Rick Braver, who taught me, has taught them as well.
Ooh.
Rick always said, Maitland, you're trying to get your own theatre company going.
So theatre's in your blood. Acting is in your blood.
Well, not really, no. If my family, I'm the only one.
Yeah?
My family, always sport. We, you know, spent a lot of time growing up, Cool Up, Meriden, but way, way back in the day, in my granddad's time, you know, if you want to know how tough you were, you had to go up against old Snowy Snars.
Yeah.
My granddad.
Right.
Next generation down, it was Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John, my dad. And then it was my older brother. And so, how I got into theatre, basically, it's my children. I've always liked it. I mean, myself and my English teachers at school, we agreed on only one thing. We disliked each other.
Yep.
I was one of these typical teenage boys, if you give me a hard time, I'll give you a hard time back. But also, you know, I barely wrote anything. And instead of asking me why, they gave me a hard time. Instead of sitting down, what's going on with you, Maitland, they just gave me a hard time. And me being me, you give me a hard time, I'll give you one back.
Mm.
It wasn't until I became older and mature and all that. But, when my kids were little, they were, let me see, 2002, because I'm, as you know, I'm father of triplets, two boys and a girl. But before they were born, I started writing poetry and doing a little bit of poetry performance.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, when triplets come along, everything gets put on hold.
That a great deal, I'm sure.
That's it. You don't do nothing. You barely get to sleep, let alone anything else.
Mm.
But every night before I go to bed, I go and check on them. And it was 2002, and I was on my way to go to bed, and I stopped in, and I was looking at the kids, and they were in their three cots there.
Yeah,
And it hit me, how can I tell them to chase their dreams if I've been too scared to chase mine?
Because
as parents, we are the role models for our children.
Right.
So I thought, well, what is my dream? And I've been doing some poetry performance and I thought, that's it.
Mm.
And so I thought, how do I go about that? And then a couple of days later, I went to have a cup of tea with a mate of mine, and he just came back from Whopper. He goes, "Oh, Maitland, you might like this." And he gave me a pamphlet.
Yes.
Aboriginal Theatre Course. It was literally like the spirit saying,
"Wow,
here you go."
Yes.
Because he didn't know I had this thought. And so for me, it was about the attempt was the most important thing. So I can say to my kids, you have to chase your dream. You might succeed or you might fail, but you have to go for it. It's about not living with regrets.
Mm.
I've been fortunate enough that things have turned out all right.
Good.
But what I want to teach my kids is you live your life your way and not have regrets. There's only two rules. Don't harm others and try not to harm the planet. Mm. As long as you stick to them, you live the way you want. And chase your dreams. And sometimes you'll succeed, sometimes you're not, but you're not going to live with regrets. Because so many people, and you'll know quite a few too, Unc, they sit back there later in life and they think, and they'll tell you, I should have done this.
Should have, coulda, woulda.
And I didn't want my kids to be like that, so I have to lead by example.
Right.
Yeah.
So they gave
me the strength to chase my dreams.
Right, so philosopher here, Maitland Snars, who's the artistic director of Yiriyarkin, one of the oldest First Nation theatres in the country, I would guess.
Ilbidgery beat us by 1 year.
That all?
Yeah, Ilbidgery, 1 year older than us.
Right.
And so the oldest Indigenous theatre company, the honour has to go to Ilbidgery.
Right.
And all the amazing, and, you know, they do amazing work too. Their artistic director, Rachel Mazza, everyone knows her.
For sure.
Amazing stage person.
Right.
For the mob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. So, look, we've got Maitland Snars talking about his history now, where he's come from, and I'd forgotten he's got twins.
Triplets.
Triplets.
Twins is too easy.
Triplets, there you go, and reaching for the phone to turn it down, a new phone. Get rid of that phone. I've only had it since yesterday afternoon. But, yeah, so, Maitland, I think we'll go to another song. Can you introduce this song? Because we now want to talk about the celebrations coming up.
Okay.
What's happening? So let's go to a song first.
The next song is Shadows. It's Briggsy featuring Troy Cassidaly. I think the original song was sung by Troy Cassidaly, but now it's a collab with Briggs and Troy Cassidaly. And why I like this, because it's not, it tells us about past stuff. Now we can don't live in the past, but never forget the past.
Oh yeah, apologies for the language there. Troy Cassidaly with Briggs, an old song of Troy Cassidaly, a favourite of Maitland Snars.
Yeah, I love that one because it's, you know, doesn't beat around the bush that what happened in the past.
Mm.
You know, there were massacres all over the place.
Oh, there was.
And the spirits are still there.
Too true.
And even if you put a parking lot, old people still there.
They are. And you're here now. It's the 30th anniversary of the theatre company you're working with.
Yep.
What's happening for the anniversary?
Okay, I've created this show, and what I've done is I've picked 7 scenes from 7 plays that Yiriyarkin have put on over 30 years. What I hope it shows is the depth, complexity and the variety of work Yiriyarkin has done over 30 years. Because if you look at all of their, you know, primary schools, their community shows, the professional main stage productions, they've, over 30 years, they've put on just over 70 shows.
Wow.
All up. So, but what I love is it's actually the diversity of work. The shows that Yiriyarkin have put on is over the years has been so diverse. It's ridiculous. It's amazing. And so what I've tried to do is honour that depth, complexity and diversity of work. And I've also created a little narrator character who comes on before each scene to put context, everything in the context about, you know, the year, what was happening and all that sort of stuff. And And look, I've also made a very political statement, because before each seat, before the narrator says what was happening,
yes,
what we were having to deal with
during that era
on the political front of that year of that show,
right,
which is saying to me, I hope it's despite everything, we're still here, still telling our stories for our people and for the wider community, still creating work for Mob, and we will always be.
So a real challenge there. So many productions. You've now dwindled down to seven. How did you manage that?
Well, look, for me, there's... I don't want to say any names of plays.
Yeah.
But there was three plays straight off the bat. If you're going to do a retrospective of Yuri Yarkin, there's three plays you have to put in
right
there. You cannot...
Can't avoid them. Yep.
You can't avoid them for various reasons.
Because they made an impact or... Are
they
most impactful?
Yeah, you know, they were impactful, cutting edge.
Right.
One delved deeply into language, okay, which is something Yuri Yarkin have been doing longer than... Kyle started working with language and developing and growing Noongar language within the community. That's going back way into Kyle's time. And so we've been, you know, promoting Noongar language and trying to encourage and grow it within the theatrical community for quite a few years now.
Right.
And that's something the other companies, like Ibidri and Mughalin, they've just started to do. They do amazing work, but we've been working with language for a lot longer. Mughalin's Visitors, they've got language in that.
Right.
QTC did a version of Othello where they brought in language as well. So the use of First Nations language within the theatrical community is actually growing, which
right
is really important, not just for WA, but right across Australia.
Okay, so it's kicking off tonight.
Yep.
So what is it called?
It's called Woolla. And we all know what Woolla means,
Woolla
is a term for celebration.
Celebration.
Celebration. When we're happy and we're just chirping.
Right.
And just, yeah, happy, excited, proud, covers all those things, which is the perfect name for it.
And it's going to be over how long? It commences tonight? It's
only short-run season. It finishes on Sunday. We have five shows. We open tonight. We have a show on Friday. We have a matinee on Saturday. And then a Saturday evening. And our Sunday show is at 4 o'clock.
Right.
Okay. And the Saturday matinee, we've got Arnie Raymer, who's our community engagement manager.
Right.
We've got morning tea, lunch organised for community elders.
Wow.
To come and have a bit of a feed, then go and see the show.
Good on you.
We've also got a lot of tickets for community.
Right. So the word's out. So
word's
if you're listening
out
in on Noongar Radio...
Because one of our priorities too is always to try and engage with Mob, with our community, with our local community, try and encourage as many community to get and see the theatre as possible. That's one of our priorities and always has been and always will be.
Right, now should we be encouraging people to ring Yuri Yarkin? I mean, a lot of our mob won't be online, will they?
Well, you can call us, or I've given you a card of our marketing manager.
Okay.
They can email Mirror.
Right.
And we can organise tickets, free tickets for community elders.
Okay, so there's seven scenes out of seven productions. You've chosen out of from 70.
Yep.
That have been worked on for the past 30 years.
I've got an amazing cast.
Yes.
The cast is incredible. Just, you know, the cast we've got, you know, there's Bobby Henry, Arnie Raymer.
Bobby Nanup.
Mm. And Bobby Nanup now.
Yeah.
Arnie Raymer, got her back doing a scene.
Right.
And Reuben Yorkshire is an amazing...
Talented artist.
He's actually an amazing painter,
yes,
sculptor, as well as a performer as well. And, of course, Delroy Morrison.
got a few of my family there.
And the probably senior statement, one of the actors who actually also inspired me as well, Kelton Pell.
Well.
And Ebony Maguire.
Some big names there.
Peter Doherty. And we've got two non-Indigenous because we do have our friends.
Right.
Peter Docker and Tegan Mulvaney as well. So it's a
looking forward to it. So if you're interested in getting involved, I'm going to give you a phone number. 9380 3040. That's 9380 3040. I won't say it again. That's Yuri Yarkin. So you've been listening to Maitland Snars and the production Woola, a celebration Woola at Yuri Yarkin. 675 productions.
Yeah, there's humour, but there's also hard-hitting truths as well.
Right.
Because Yuri Yarkin have, as I said, they've produced a range of shows over the years, and you know, we tell a lot of our shows. You know, we got black humour. You saw Dating Black, lots of humour and all of that. But we also do shows like Conversations with the Dead, which tackle current issues.
Good.
And that's a show which was written, I think, 20-odd years ago?
Right.
20-odd years ago, but unfortunately those themes that play explores are still relevant, which is sad.
Oh, look, everything's so relevant in our time. Yeah. I mean, you know, 65,000 years, 300 generations, well...
But I've tried to have a nice sort of flow, so it's not just all heavy. It's a nice... You've got some heavy, you've got some humour.
Great.
Because it wouldn't be a retrospective without our humour.
There you go, Woola, 30th anniversary production at Yuri Yarkin. Get involved, have a listen, and I've given you numbers, so thank you for coming in. It's been
my
great
pleasure.
Talking to you.
The last show, the last scene is language.
Good.
With no subtitles, it's just our language.
Right.
I think you might know what that show is.
I think I know what it is.
Yeah, I think you might know. It's a show that I was very privileged to be a part of.
Good on you, yes, I remember.
Yeah, and I will always be very grateful to the artists who created it.
Good on you. So that was Maitland Snars. Thank you for coming on the show. This is RTRFM, Woodich Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Thelma Plum there, around here. I think Thelma was one of the first to suffer from COVID from memory and did really well, so hopefully Thelma's doing okay these days. It was great to have Maitland Snars on the show, but another talented person who's from the academia world of Edith Cowan University is Braden Hill. Good morning, Braden.
Hey, Jim. How are you going?
Oh, I look much better than the other day when I saw you.
Oh, look, get to see you twice in a week. That's fantastic. At least talk to you twice in a week.
Braden, you're doing some exciting things in the LGBTQ+, I think I've got the acronyms right, and you're researching some of the issues that our young people are facing. So, firstly, before we go any further, who are your mob and where you're from, Braden Hill?
Right, so on my grandfather's side, the Hill family, so Busselton, Wardandi of ours, and on my nan's side, she's a tailor, so kind of Gascoyne, Murchison area. So, yeah, that's my mob, but live on Wadjuk country most of my life.
Wow. I just sort of thought maybe some of the tailors are related to me. In fact, I was talking to somebody about that. There was a older lady that's my grandmother's sister who married a tailor. That's another story. So welcome to RTRFM, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM, Braden. It's been very exciting, the work you're doing. Tell us about it. And you've actually acquired a nice little grant to do some research in the LGBT young people space. So tell us all about it.
Yeah, so look, I think West Australia and Noongar mob and blackfellas living in West Australia, I think, can be really proud that over the last few years there's been a really strong focus on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander queer people, adults and young people particularly, and those lived experiences, what that's like and what that means for when people access health services or community organisations. And so over the last few years, we've been doing a lot of work, and I'll talk about the young mob particularly because I think that's relevant to the new project that we've got going. But it's really important that people understand that outside of community experience and community stories, there's really little research out there that policymakers, CEOs, governments can lean on to really think about how we do things better for the social, emotional well-being of young queer individuals in our community. And so we're really trying to be part of that. We've had some really interesting findings that have come out from that. But I think we can be really proud it's coming out of WA, and it's important and critical work.
Wow, that's great. So you brought up the term queer. Is that acceptable within the broader community or the LGBT? So how did that come about?
Yeah, so I think in terms of terminology, it's always fraught, whether you're a black fella or part of the LGBTQ plus community. Queer has sort of a really negative connotation for older fellas, where that was a term used in a really derogatory way. What we're seeing with a lot of younger folk, though, is a reclamation of that term and an identity under that term. And it really kind of caters to, I guess, a great deal of diversity in the ways in which people are expressing their gender, but also their sexualities in the here and now. So it's a contested term, and I think it's a generational one. But it's one I kind of use interchangeably, but I try and do it respectfully, noticing that people respond to it differently depending on where they're coming from and their life experience.
Good. So tell us more about yourself, though, Braden Hill. Do we call you professor or doctor, or what is your title over at Edith Cowan University?
So I'm Professor Braden Hill. My title is Deputy Vice-Chancellor of Students, Equity and Indigenous at Edith Cowan Uni, and I look after the whole student experience of the whole university, but also lead a lot of work around the Indigenous and equity space. So look after Kurungal Katagin, which is a wonderful centre, does great things for our mob, I think.
Well, I don't think we've had anyone of your academic background on this radio station. It's Murich Mag before, so congratulations, welcome. It's good to hear the work you're doing. So what's the major findings of the research? Are you able to tell us what really concerns you with this research?
Yeah, look, I'll start with probably the most concerning thing. We did a big national study of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander LGBTQ plus young people, so ages between 14 and 25. We had about 600 young people respond to that survey, and I guess the most concerning thing, which highlights why this work is really important, is that just over 45% of our young people nationally who are Indigenous and queer had attempted suicide in their lifetime. And so that says something about the urgency for not only us to understand this kind of thing, but think about what we do about it. On the flip side, though, there was some really positive stuff. So we know in the research that young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander LGBTQ plus young people feel strong in their identities as both queer and Indigenous mob, which I think is important. But we know that what's really important is supportive family. And one of the challenges that we, and you know, Jim, being in communities, sometimes family aren't accepting.
Right.
Especially people, young fellas really feel that with, I guess, I don't know, when you think about aunties and uncles and what white fellows call extended family, that's where they get a little bit fearful and concerned. I guess the other really key thing that came out is that some of our young queer mob are worried about being rejected by community leaders. And I know the conversation that we've had the other day, Jim, was really around the fear that maybe they're not going to be accepted by elders. And that's kind of where we're heading with the research next. So that gives you a bit of a snapshot on what we found.
Sure. And I guess the history of LGBT issues, where a lot of people are finding out their own sexuality, they move away. And the mecca, I guess, was Sydney. And yes, it wasn't always a happy environment for LGBT people in Sydney due to loneliness, et cetera, et cetera. So is the acceptance of LGBT and all queer people around the country a little bit better than what it was?
I think broadly speaking, we're seeing, an improvement. I think there's a level of acceptance and also an expectation that people are going to be more inclusively minded. And if they're not, to be frank, they know to keep their mouth shut. And I think that's been a change, because people know that these things can have really negative effects. I think for Indigenous LGBTQ mob, though, it's tricky, because from our studies, we know that black fellas can't go to queer communities without experiencing racism. And then we know that they can't sometimes run to their black fellow communities without experiencing homophobia and transphobia. So you can kind of get caught. So whilst there's a broad acceptance that's happening for Indigenous queer mob, it can be a bit of a no person's land, if you know what I mean. They kind of don't feel like they can fit in or belong anywhere. So while things are improving, I think there's still more work to do.
Sure. Now, there's been a couple of big events that have taken place in the last couple of years that might impact on the work you're doing, and that was the first one was, I don't think it was a referendum, it was a plebiscite or marriage equality, and the recent referendum where the voice was rejected. How are those national occurrences, is that going to impact on your work, do you think?
So I think the marriage equality debate was harmful. We know that was harmful to all LGBTQ plus community, regardless of, you know, what people thought about it. It had an impact. The media discourse was really damaging. I think the difference between that, though, and the referendum, the rejection of the referendum proposal, is that there was a really concerted opposition against it, and that there was no bipartisan kind of support or at least acquiescence to it. I think, you know, we saw in our research conversations the other day that regardless of where you sit on this issue as a black fella, that sense of rejection is really profound and sharp and clear. That's always going to have a mental health implication, well-being implication.
Sure.
And it also, I think it makes it difficult for black fellas to think, yep, we can walk alongside white fellas here and do this together. Because a lot of black fellas are going, hang on, we tried that, and that was kind of rejected. So that's going to have an impact. And when you have a community that's super vulnerable, like the Indigenous queer community, where they don't feel like they have a place to go, if all they're hearing is rejection of their indigeneity, that's going to be a problem.
Sure. Look, it's marvellous the work you're doing. What's the next step?
So next step is a project called Pride Yarns, and right. That's the one that's a new project that we're excited about. That's going to be an elder-led project over
Excellent.
2 years, and it kind of picks up on that concern that young people have that their elders are not conscious of gender diversity or sexuality. And so what we want to do is work with elders, as we already are, and with young people and go, okay, if a lot of young Indigenous queer people around the country are concerned about this, what's the messaging that we need to go out into community to build awareness and education? Because we know some parents are, you know, always going to be really loving towards their children. They just don't know how to do
sure.
that effective love.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So this project is about, okay, how do we do that? Social media. We've used TikTok in the past. So we want to kind of think about, okay, what's going to make the biggest impact for our communities to know how they can support their and love their young ones.
Good. So how then can young people get involved? Do they need to connect to a website, or how is that going to progress?
Yep. So I think the best, for the moment, the best contact would be through ECU. So the email, probably use email is the best. We're still setting up the website. KK at ecu.edu.au is probably
Terrific.
The best contact.
Terrific. Thank you so much for being on the program and alerting us to some wonderful research, Braden. We really thank you for being on the program. I'm going to drag you back sometime in the future. I've been trying to get on this program for years, so somebody else has been fortunate and lucky. So next time I'll get you in on another yarn. Thanks, Braden. Thanks for your time. Let's go to a song. Tony Hansen's joining us in the studio. Oh, interesting musical there. Love it. Smoke, Bob Weatherall. And Halfway with the Didgeridoo played there by William Barton. Love it. And it's going to play it out for a little while. It'll be an undertone and the background of music to keep you in tune. So we'll keep talking. But this is Murich Mag on RTR FM 92.1 and Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Tony Hansen, otherwise known as Tonji, has joined me in the studio. Good morning, Tonji.
Good morning, Jimbo. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, a colleague and co-worker, bringing them home, Yokai, West Australian Stolen Generation Aboriginal Corporation, travelling all over the world, which is why you're here, to talk about your travels in recent times. So you went to a conference in Vancouver and then to another conference in Abu Dhabi. So before we do that, who are your mob and where are you from?
My mob is Menang, Goring mob, also Wadandi, Bilman people, and also have connections into the Gascoyne region as well through great-grandmother on the Dalgety side.
Well, so yes, you've been travelling. So, I mean, at this time last year, you were in Scotland and I carried your bags. But since then, you've been to Vancouver. Tell us about Vancouver. What was that all about?
Yeah, I went to Vancouver for the International Healing Our Spirit Worldwide Conference, which is held annually every 4 years. Due to COVID, this time it was extended a little bit longer. Where First Nations people from all over the world come together and talk about what's working well, what's not working well, and what some of the challenges are facing their communities and their people and also their country as well. So it was a real good collaboration there, being in Vancouver for a week. Also, we went a week earlier to learn a little bit more about the Indian residential schools.
Wow.
and see what's working well for those guys and what's some of the learnings we could take away and bring back home to Australia and use in terms of healing and yarning for our own people.
What was the highlight of your trip there? Did you learn much from the First Nation people in Canada or anywhere else around the world? What was the highlight?
The highlight for me was, it's not a good one, I guess it's a sad one really when you think about that the last residential school closed in I think it was the early 1996 period. So, you know, the impact of that, the removal of children and, you know, children off reserves into institutions as the residential schools, we know that's had a profound effect on the people of Canada. I think one of the real good learnings that came out of it for me was a lot of the materials that I picked up on the way and learning more about, you know, just a book called 21 Things You May Not Know About the Indian Act. And that book, all you need to do really is change Indian and put Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's name on there and everything is replicated again.
Right, so that's really an interesting learn then, coming back from Vancouver in the British Columbia of Canada. What are some of the other highlights? Were there something significant that you learnt?
Yeah, I guess for me, you know, looking at the place itself in terms of, you know, the homelessness as well, it's a huge issue in that country. And I guess also that, you know, in terms of government, what they're doing for their own people in that country and First Nations of residential schools are, you know, really leading the way and supporting financially, but also supporting the community as a whole and empowering the people to, in terms of whatever the programs they're looking at moving forward and reclaiming some of these places of trauma as well.
Right. Okay, so that was Vancouver. Then since you've been to Abu Dhabi and there are thousands of people there, what was the highlight there for you and why did you go?
Yeah, I went there for the International Council on Archives and the work that we're doing here, Jim, with the built environment team here at Curtin University. It was around showcasing the virtual reality work that we're doing here of former institutions and places of trauma and educating, you know, those institutions that actually hold, materials that belong to First Nations people around the world. So in Abu Dhabi, it was around 5,000 people and it was a wonderful experience and a great opportunity to showcase the work that we're doing here and highlighting the importance of it.
All right. Look, it's that's some wonderful experience. You know, any overseas experience has got to be a value. I mean, you're meeting so many people. You're broadening your horizons. So, Tony, thanks for coming on the program. I really appreciate your time. I'm going to go out with the earlier song because it was such a wonderful instrumental. Oh, no, it looks like we've... looks like we're going straight to the news. So, Tony, appreciate your time coming
to
RTR-FM and our listeners at Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. It's been a great experience for you.